Online Podcast Episode 75. Hello, good morning everyone. Welcome to Online Podcast. I am again going to work. Yeah, and I'm packing right now. What? Oh gosh, I'm so brain dead now. I have my green techno box and my batteries. If you don't know what my green techno box is, maybe you should watch my video cast next week. I'm planning on doing a video cast. Actually, I wanted to do it today, but I don't have time. Haven't you heard that before? So what I'm doing now is I'm packing. Welcome everyone, and tuan tuan dan puan puan. For those of you who have heard this before, it's the same thing. We're going to work. And actually, I do have something that I want to talk about too that was kind of serious. I was chatting with my friend yesterday online, and this is what I got out of it. The immigration, and I have gone through this myself. I have already obtained my green card, which means I'm safe. Nothing else. I mean, next step for me to do is, if I choose to be the citizen of the United States of America, I just need to apply for the citizenship. But for some people, in fact, most people, if let's say you have a loved one, let's say you have a partner, gay people I'm talking about. I mean, straight people is if you fell in love or not, or if you just want to be the citizen, you can get married, and you will be. It's not very easy, but you know, you have the right to go through all those steps and become a citizen. And of course, being gay is not. Obviously not being recognized by this country, meaning if you have a gay relationship, nobody gives a damn about it. Ouch. Okay, I'm gonna go check on the girl to see if she needs any food. So nobody gives a damn about a gay relationship in this country, immigration wise. Now, there are a few other countries, and I mean, most countries do not. Most countries, gay marriage is still illegal, right? Except for the few. Gosh, I'm scooping the poop. Oi, girly, why you make such a big mess? Sorry, this is the litter box sound. Oh, my cable got caught on that litter box door. Girlie, you're such a little cat, but you poop so big. Mimi? You poop so big. And you're hearing the what is it called? Litter maid. My girly Tasha. Where was I? So I was talking about how, okay, gay. If let's say, this is, I think it's hard, it's hard for me to say, but let me give you a few scenarios. You come over here from, let's say, a different country, let's say, Malaysia. Just, you know, I'm from Malaysia. And you came here for school. After you finished studying, you graduated, and you actually found a job. You were offered a job. You took the job. And your boss is kind and nice enough. And also like you enough to be hiring you. Oh shit, it's raining. Recycling too, crap. Okay, well this is a mess. I'm carrying out the recycling bin to the street. So when we are recycling, we are only allowed to put out two trash bags. Gosh, I look like a crazy person. Is that it? Yeah. Oh shit, okay. Oh, it's water on the street. I'm getting into my car. Oh, yeah. Getting distracted. I was gonna tell you a serious story, and I 37 minutes. Because I'm going to work now. And now maybe I'll be able to tell you the story. So if, let's say if you're from Malaysia and then you come to the United States, blah blah blah, work, and your boss likes you enough that he's gonna apply a working visa for you. Now, there are various situations, there are various kinds of visa that you can apply for. For instance, if you are a married couple and your spouse is American and you are not, they will apply a different kind of visa for you, obviously. But as a working visa, for me, for instance, I got my visa through my work. And it's called the H-1B visa. H-1B. And H-1B visa would allow you to work for, is it 3 years, I think? And it is also renewable for another term, which is like 3 years. So you can work here for a total of 6 years, legally. And usually during that time is when you apply for your green card. Green card is no longer green anymore. It's kind of like pinkish, but it used to be green, hence the name green card. But what green card means is permanent residency. meaning you can live in this country, there are certain rights that you do not have, for instance, you cannot vote, but you can work anywhere you want. Pretty much, there are a few other things that's different from a regular citizen, but pretty much the same, except for the right to vote. That's like the key thing. Also, you know, instead of getting, you can get deported if you are a permanent resident, and if you're a citizen, then you will be dealt with as a criminal if you've done something illegal. Like, I'm talking about really, really bad. So, well, that's the case. And what was I? Oh yeah. So, you get you're the citizen. I mean, you become the permanent resident. Like, I have already become a permanent resident, and the status is permanent, meaning unless you have done something really wrong, they deport you. Otherwise, you don't have to renew your status. There's a card that we have to renew, some sort of form of an alien ID. Don't you like that? Ta-da! Alien. So, you know, I am an alien, and gosh, I'm so scared. And so that's how you become a citizen during the H-1B 6-year period, is when you apply for your citizenship, I mean your permanent residency. And then after 4 years, technically 5 years, but 4 years, you should be able to start your application process of becoming a citizen. Well, that's that. And that is if everything goes on well and lucky, and you're lucky to have a really good boss to spend thousands of dollars paying for the attorney, hundreds, probably even up to over about $1,000 or more on application fees. And to the U.S. government to apply for your green card. Now there, I've forgotten, but you know, I had to go through all this. But you have to go through a few steps, and that's why some people would talk about stages. And you go through, and that's why it's not easy to become legally employed in this country. And you know, I have heard lots of comments about immigrants coming into the country, and I do understand there's a certain effect about that, but I tell you, it's not easy. We're talking about, if you're lucky, 3.5 years, 3 years as using your H-1B visa, meaning if you are employed by a certain company, and the company is willing to sponsor you, meaning spend thousands of dollars paying for your legal fees for your permanent residency application. So that's that one thing. It's not easy, and it takes years. For me, I think it took about 3 years, and I was considered very, very lucky to be able to get it done that soon. And of course, 9/11 also has made the application process even harder, you know, obviously for a good reason, but it also has slowed down and makes the process even more difficult and more intimidating. And so the thing is, okay, now that was sort of like a background of what the situation you'll be in if you're lucky, and if you are an alien, meaning from another country. So if you're lucky, you get your green card, blah blah blah, and everything's fine, right? But what if you're not as lucky, and you know the economy here, and you know the economy now? It's hard, first of all, to even find a job. And on top of finding a job and having your boss needing to make the commitment of paying thousands of dollars to get your H-1B process and to pay for your legal fee and the application fee so that you can become a permanent resident. That's like completely, most people, I'd say really a big majority of employers won't even go through that. Big companies, small companies, I think small companies even worse. And big companies, some of them, if they totally, absolutely need you, meaning if they cannot hire other American citizens to do the same task, or it's hard to find, then you'll get the likelihood of getting your job, both from the willingness of your boss as well as the likelihood of the immigration office approving your case is higher. But even that's the case, you know, a lot of the first step is, you know, you have to have your boss be willing and wanting to pay all those money, all those hassle, the letters and the legal steps that you have to take. Plus, you also have to go through the labor department to get, first of all, approval, and second of all, you need to actually hire or try to hire, I think it's like 10 people or 15 people, 15 applications, and to find out if they are they can take over your job. I mean, from American citizens, whether or not they will be qualified for the job. Now, if they are not qualified, then you have to write each application, write down why they're not qualified and give the specific reason, and then get sent that all the 10, 15 applications back to the labor department so that they would know you are actually hiring an alien for a reason, because there are certain things in this person that it's hard to find from other citizens. So that would make most employers would just go, oh sure, here's the reality. I actually have 15 people who are so capable of doing this, and why should I hire an alien and need to spend more money and spend more time and all this work? So the employer really need to want you before they can, or before they're willing to go through all the steps with you. Some company would pay for your legal fee for the green card application. Mine, for instance, paid fully. I didn't even have to shell out a cent for it. That's why I'm saying I'm so lucky, and I'm so grateful for the company that I'm working with, whose boss, employer, decided to pay for everything. I mean, there are companies whom, as long as they are willing to be your sponsor, because maybe money issues aside, they have to be willing to be the sponsor first. And some people would say, you know, as long as you will be my sponsor, I will pay fully, you know, the green card process. And that's like $2,000 or something. So that is about, also that's a little background, but you know, the main thing that I want to get into is actually to talk to you about what if you are gay, and what if you are in a relationship and your visa expires. Let's say if you're on H-1B, or even before you get to the step of H-1B, you graduate and you have 1 year of practical training that you can use to work in this country legally for 1 year. And beyond that, you have to have your H-1B visa. So, if your status expires from after you graduate, and most people, and lots of people actually meet someone during the college years or after the college years, and so you can imagine what that situation would be. I have personal experience of how stressful and how I think I'd call it temporary you know, how temporary the whole world feels to you. Let's say if you fall in love with someone, and I'm talking about gay people. So if you're a man, you fall in love with a man, and you're a woman, you fall in love with a woman. If you are in Canada, and I'm only giving you a few examples, because I don't remember all those countries, but there are a long list of countries. If you're in Australia, if you're in the Great Britain, what you need to do is you need to prove that you have been living together for the last, I think, 6 months. And if you have proof, joint account, photographs, and all that, go into the office. It would be considered as like a domestic partnership. And so you are then eligible to apply for a green card based on the fact that you have a lover. You have a partner here in this country. And so you're eligible to apply for it as a spouse from a citizen. Meaning if your boyfriend or girlfriend is an American citizen, and if you're not. But not in the United States of America. And I say not in the United States of America. Not here. Not immigration law here. There's nothing you can do to try to stay here because it is not in the immigration law. And I know for years people have been trying to get that part of the law written into our immigration law so that we can actually not break people apart. And of course, people who are up above don't care, right? Because, and also there's a lot of people that is around you who do not give a damn because, oh, gay people are not supposed to be together anyway, so why should we let them be together? So we'll break them apart. And I have seen this, like, I've been through all those stress, all those unbearable moments about, oh gosh, what if my green card didn't get approved? What if my H-1B get rejected? What would I do? I have already fallen in love. I have already, at that moment, you know that this is, you know, probably going to be the one. And that has to all go away. I have seen that happen. A friend of mine, two friends I got to know, and one of them is from Mexico, and his status expired, and he actually had to pack up and left the country for a year. And then he came back, you have to see, most relationship would not even last that long. But you know, that point aside, because most people would have the right, if you're straight, you know, ooh, dandy. Or if you're gay, as long as you're not in the United States of America, let's say, and we're talking about progressive countries, you know, like Australia, like Great Britain, all those countries. I'm not talking about Malaysia, I'm not talking about China, I'm talking about the United States of America. You would think that it's so progressive that they would have those laws written in, even if you don't care for gay marriage, even if you don't believe in all that, the immigration law at least would be covering gay couples in that kind of situation. And I have seen that happen, and that just broke my heart to have to see a couple being torn apart because of this, because it simply doesn't exist in the immigration law that gay couple can be proven to be domestic partners and therefore being able to apply. And I'm not talking about getting it, I'm talking about apply, just having the eligibility of applying for a green card. So that breaks my heart. And of course that conversation came up again last night from a friend of mine, an online friend of mine, and that same situation is about to happen. And I think they've been together for, I don't know, what, at 8 years? Is it that long? 8 or 9 years or something like that? And if he doesn't get his H1B visa, he's gonna have to pack up and leave. And, you know, and leaving the husband or the partner behind. That just breaks my heart. I just cannot stand how that is gonna feel if it happens to me. I'd probably have Bruce move to wherever I'm going with me. But that's not easy, you know. So unless you move to Canada, at least that's an option right now. But again, you have to go through all those immigration process in Canada. But at least in Canada, gay marriage is legal, and even before it was legal, you can at least get that part covered in the immigration law. So, if you have friends who are not from this country, and you know that they came in as a student, the likelihood is they at some point they're gonna have to deal with this, and it's hard. It's not easy. I mean, on top of everything else, you have just that little chance of not being able to be in this country. You know, you felt so temporary. I remember the first time I was checking my case status, my green card case status on the phone through INS at the time. I heard my case got approved. I just called, you know, every once in a while, I'll just pick up the number and I'll call in and I put in my case number, and then they'll tell me whether your case has been submitted, you know, it's pending for approval, blah, 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 blah. And one night I just punched number in, and then I was told by the message that the case was approved. So I was so excited that I actually called back like 10,000 times. I don't know how many times. I kept calling back and I kept giggling about it because I couldn't believe myself because I got approved. And that, well, not until I actually get my card. And this is like a few years later, because they sent me a green card with my name spelled wrong. Sent the card back, and then they sent me another card. And until then, I actually have my permanent green card in my hand. That's like a year and a half later, almost 2 years later, after I got my case approved, that I felt permanent. I felt like I actually, okay, I'm real now. This is gonna be real. So, it's a crazy issue. It's a crazy topic. It's something that you don't think about. Again, just like gay marriage, if you are straight, you don't think about all the rights that you do not have. Same thing here. If you are straight and you have a couple from another country, you don't think about this. Or if you're in a relationship that does not involve a foreigner, then you probably haven't heard about this at all. So maybe we'll have the friend that I spoke to last night on my show one of these days, and have him talk to you personally about how hard it is to be in that situation. Thank you so much for listening, and I know it's kind of a heavy subject, and I was so scared in the beginning that I really took a whole lot out of that topic. But so I hope you get to talk to or hear the conversation with my friend someday. And I'm ready to go into work now. And thank you so much for listening. Please go out and check out my new show, If You Understand Hokkien, at PenangHokkien.com. And tell all your friends about it. I need all your help to promote the site, PenangHokkien.com. And hopefully that would take off successfully. I mean, it's pretty successful for what it's been. There's only one real two real shows up there, so it's about 2 weeks old, and I already have subscription higher than what my online podcast used to be. So that's a good sign, but I need your help to promote the show. So thank you so much, and you have a pleasant weekend. I know it's only Thursday, but you have a great weekend, and I will hopefully be able to you will hopefully be able to see me on a video cast next week. I'll try my best, okay? Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And don't forget to smile. Ta-ta.